Hi, Kevin Murphy here. You're listening to Conversations with Kevin, a show about innovation, creativity, product, and purpose. It contains all the ingredients that make up what Kevin Murphy is and what we stand for. So I'm Kevin Murphy, and this is Conversations with Kevin. At this time, many of us have been asked to close our doors, isolate ourselves, or put our businesses on pause. As we all become accustomed to our virtual conversations, there is still a need or a desire to create strong connections. In this podcast, we'll be talking to some people from the Kevin Murphy Network that can help you navigate this time. But just before we get started, I want to say that I believe that young people are in a much better situation to ride out the storm financially and emotionally when it comes to rebuilding the economy. Millennials are at the right age to benefit from the coming upswing. They don't have mortgages, they probably have not amassed a huge lifetime savings, and they are highly educated and are young enough to take a risk. But in saying that, I understand that these times may make you feel anxious about change and wanted to dedicate most of this episode to looking at mental health, resilience, and some of the tools we have to work with. So today I'm speaking with Tim Abney, our Global Education Development Director.
Hi, Kevin.
And Nathan Gorman, our headmaster. Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good. Hi, Kevin. Great to be here.
Hi. So, Tim, I know that you recently held a Facebook Live on thriving when times change. What exactly did you mean by this?
First and foremost, Kevin, what I wanted to accomplish with it was I was looking around and looking at how quickly everything is moving these days and how fast things are changing. And from day to day, the landscape looks so different. So I wanted to find a way to share some knowledge and some of the things that I do that have helped me to make sure that people had not only the information, but had an opportunity to create some space in their daily lives to practice things like self-care, really look after themselves. But I also wanted this discussion to be able to help people find ways to progress toward a goal, despite all of the circumstances that are surrounding all of us right now. Mm-hmm. And in order to progress towards that goal, I think we really need to start by examining or addressing the concept of change.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I think that no matter how hard your life is, you still need to set goals and adapt to the situation as best we can. So what does thriving when times change mean to you, Nathan?
Well, I think that, you know, I think the reason so many people tuned into Tim's Facebook Live, aside from the fact that everyone loves a Tim talk and he's a great presenter with great content, is actually because people are really craving connections at this time. I know a lot of the, you know, more spiritual beliefs and everything in life say that change is constant. And change is constant in life, but we're actually at a point in our life where everything's changed. Every single aspect of our life, be it work, be it our personal life, everything's changed. But we're all in it together as humans, and you know we need to understand that we have that fear of change, but it's inevitable. And any tools like the tools Tim was presenting that can help us embrace that belief and that concept is really important right now.
You know, Nathan, I couldn't agree more. The idea that change is the only constant, but then when you still look at it today, change for most of us can be one of the most unsettling, one of the most awkward and extremely difficult things to manage, but that's completely okay. You know, I'm a big fan of Oprah Winfrey. I think a lot of people know that. And she said something not too long ago that I thought was so great and perfect for this time, when she said, challenges are gifts that force us to search for a new center of gravity. Don't fight them. Just find a new way to stand.
Wow. Wow. That's a great comment. Love Oprah, don't you?
I do. That is great.
He does.
No, I think we all love Oprah. I think that Oprah should have been president many, many
fantastic
times.
Fantastic teacher.
Yes. So, yep. I think that the idea of that find a new way to stand is a really good good quote. But this will be an unsettling reset for everyone. But I think it will result in some positive changes in how we behave and interact. So we need to be well prepared for this. So personal strength and wellness is the key here. And so I think we're now moving into a phase of what's been spoken about as now a resilience culture.
That's interesting. Resilience.
Yeah, because we need to be resilient in this time. And yeah, it's easier said than done. Like sometimes I walk down the shop and I'm like, I'm in the supermarket and I'm like, please move away from me, everybody. Please get away.
Yeah.
And then I run inside and wash my hands about 500 times. So that's not so resilient, but I think. But now we're going to speak about some of the challenges you might be facing right now and some of the solutions to overcome them. So Nathan, what challenges have you been facing with your team in the salon?
Well, I think COVID-19 for salon teams is going to be an ongoing and an evolving issue because, you know, I think we said in the last podcast, Kevin, that I believe truly that for salons and teams, COVID-19 is going to have a beginning, a middle and an end. So I think that things will actually change throughout that whole time. But the impact will be long term, but the short term is we need to remember to check in on each other and to give each other support and to offer support and know that together as a team in the face of challenges, we can draw on strength, resilience, and we can provide that support network for, like when you were saying, Kevin, I didn't feel particularly resilient that day. I mean, it's not achievable to think everyone will feel resilient every day. But when you have a team around you and the support networks to cope with the difficulties, you can actually deal with multiple ongoing challenges.
Yeah. You know, Nathan, I think you've hit the nail on the head. So when you both mentioned, support and resilience, I think one of the best tools that we have at our disposal to constantly strengthen your resilience is mindfulness. So for me, I like to start each day with some sort of breath work or meditation or exercise because I've noticed that doing this, it's had significant physical, mental, and emotional benefits for me. And it's literally been so amazing that by sitting there and doing essentially nothing but breathing and clearing my mind, I've seen so many improvements in my stress levels. I tend to experience a greater peace of mind. There is quite a bit of a boost to my self-esteem. And I've noticed increases in my energy level, and because I think that's how it's increasing circulation actually to your entire system. So it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like Tim, I think that, like, with all due respect, I think that's an amazing concept. But people find that lots of different ways. Some people go for a run, some people walk by a river. Taking the dog for a walk is something that really makes me feel very calm every morning.
I agree.
I found that I was actually getting sort of quite angry as well. So, because I think at first I found it really hard to filter the information. So, like when I was in the supermarket the other day, I was angry at people stopping and standing. I'm like, why are you browsing in the supermarket? Can't you just get what you want and get out? Because I'm one of those annoying people who makes a list and I know exactly where I'm going, which makes me a little bit uptight, I suppose. But
it doesn't surprise me at all.
I think that sort of anger at first, because I found it hard to filter the information. So, you know, COVID-19 was 24/7. Was on every channel, it was everywhere. And at one moment I looked at Lewis and said, can we just have a coronavirus free day for once, please? So can we not look at the news?
Yeah.
But I could but I couldn't get away. And I think it's really important to replace fear with a focus on wellness. So it's really interesting what you're saying, Tim, like having that wellness focus and some sort of conscious deceleration.
Absolutely. So, I mean, to that point, Kevin, you know, I noticed the same things when I was kind of exposing myself a little too much, in my opinion, to the media, whether that be social media or taking in too much of the news, I was becoming more and more angry or unsure. So number one for me, I just don't do that anymore. I don't watch the news constantly because I have noticed that underlying theme of fear and uncertainty. And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that the news channels are bad. I'm not saying that the people that have chosen to report the news are doing anything wrong, because we all do need to stay informed. But just like they made that decision to do that as a job, I can also make the decision to not engage with it on a regular basis. And the same with social media. So obviously I love participating and engaging on KMTV and everything that we are bringing to that channel. But I'm still mindful about the time that I spend with social media and the news, because I found that when I go down the rabbit hole, I have a hard time at night compartmentalizing everything that I've taken in when I should be spending time and focus on getting quality and consistent sleep.
Hmm. You're lucky. I can never get
consistent. It's not always easy. It's not always easy.
My telephone told me that I was getting 2 hours and 37 minutes of sleep every night. And I'm like, oh, really?
I think you need to switch that app off, Kevin.
Yeah, how do they know that I'm awake or asleep when I was just sitting by my bed? Like, I'm not picking it up and looking at it. But anyway, so Nathan, is this something that you would advise your team in the salon to do, some of this subconscious thinking or compartmentalizing? Oh. So I can't speak now even.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, and I agree with you, Tim. But I need to qualify that I think that, you know, as I said before, connecting, listening to others, empathy, encouraging support, and following up are really key steps. And you know what? Social media is actually one of the tools that we have to do that right now. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, it's how the clients are reaching out to my team at the salon. It's how people are. So I absolutely agree. And, you know, last week, I felt quite good Sunday, Monday over Easter. And then I realized it was because I hadn't watched news for 2 days. Okay. And so for me, it's probably that news thing. But social media has been a valid tool, I think, to communicate. But it doesn't mean it's a free-for-all and you're on your phone all the time and you're not connecting with your partner and you're not connecting and you're not doing other things as well.
Yeah, yeah, you need to sort of keep busy. We find we're having a date night tonight, to tell you the truth. We've organised some food. We're watching Pam Ann. She's on Friday night at 10 p.m. Wow. So. It's a thing called Stage It. So I mean, I know that this podcast will be outdated by then, but go to stageit.com and you can actually purchase tickets, and then we put it over Apple TV, and then Pam Am comes up in the lounge room and we get like, it's like,
oh, I love her.
Yeah. So she's really funny. But there's a lot of artists who are doing that. So the artists are performing in their own lounge rooms or their kitchens or their, and they're on Stage It. They get to have money, like you pay, I think it's $20. But it's really, it's a night of entertainment and it takes your mind off it and it's hilarious as well. So
what a great idea, Kevin.
But Tim, speaking of online, so what's coming up from the webinars on KMTV?
Well, with KMTV and the webinars that we're putting together, I think it illustrates the point that Nathan was making perfectly, where we can use social media in a very mindful way to build a bridge of connection and really connect with our community, our Kevin Murphy community. So we've been very thoughtful with what we want to bring to that. And over the next couple of weeks, we have the masters, we have the design directors, and, you know, Kevin, you're even doing a few segments over the next couple of weeks as well on cutting, yeah, coloring, and styling. No, you're not doing coloring, but you'll probably do some cutting and some hairstyling, obviously. So we wanted to essentially just offer something that would keep the community inspired. But we're also making room to schedule additional segments around topics like this: mindfulness, how to build skills when you go back to the salon, but also how to create a stronger mindset during this time as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tim, because, you know, currently at the moment, we're putting together a package about like sanitation and right and best packages in the salon. So they'll be on our channels. And also, you know, planning for what I like to call a soft reopen of the salon, as opposed to just opening the doors and going back to normal. So there'll be a lot of things going around on all of our channels at Kevin Murphy that'll help you actually get through this time and help you work towards a reopen.
Yeah, because I don't think that people are going to just pop in the salon like, oh, hey, we're just back again. I think there's going to be a lot of skitsiness around cleanliness. People won't want to be touching things. Like even like when I'm downstairs, like I'm not touching anything, and I'm making sure that, like, even when I get a delivery, like I grab the bag somewhere else. We often cut open our bags and then I spray them with disinfectant, leave the bags outside for a little while, and then bring the packages in. So there's going to be that, we're going to be weird about stuff for a little while. So
I think so.
So Nathan, you said before mental health is something that we need to be conscious of. So what are the things that you look for in your team, or things that you may show that they are not coping?
Well, creatives and managing a salon team, it's always been like herding cats. They're quite an interesting, and I love my staff, but I think that they're really feeling much the same thing as us. But some of the tips I'd have, some of the things to look for, appearing stressed or quite anxious, or even it could be exhausted or confused, sad, overwhelmed, or angry. Like, I've got one team member and I adore them. If they're listening to this podcast, but, you know, they come at me with anger and quite angry about the shutdown and the virus. And it was as much as I could actually say, well, I didn't create this, but I really knew that I just had to show empathy and say, well, this is your way of dealing with things, and this is signs that you might need some help. Withdrawing is something a lot of people do. I mean, the physical symptoms, I think we all know for ourselves, it could be headaches and difficulty sleeping or weight gain or weight loss, or, and just generally, you know, reaching for kind of the wrong tools to cope in all of this. And it's really about connecting and listening to others' experience and encouraging support and following up and actually remembering that. And use the tools like use the tools that we're giving you at Kevin Murphy to actually engage with your teams during this time.
Mm-hmm. So how do just I'm just going to go a bit deeper on that one. So how do you respond to that sort of behavior? Like, I'm just going to be the devil's advocate and say, so does there need to be some kind of distance between employee and employer? So because there's mentoring and there's mothering, and I'm not talking about myself, but I'm just wondering, where do you draw the distinction of how to nurture your staff?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I think that'd go to your style before the pandemic. First off, I mean, I think hairdressers tend to do that. But I think that it's knowing the difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy says, I know and accept and understand how you are feeling. And it allows you to put in place some other tools to help them. Sympathy is, oh, I'm sorry that you're feeling that. Why are you feeling like that? Because you can't define how someone is going to feel during a pandemic or how someone is going to feel at a time in their life, literally, where their personal life and their professional life has been turned upside down. And for my part, this is the first time that's happened in my life. And, you know, I think it's almost a once-in-a-lifetime event, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's once-in-a-century event, really. I don't think this has really happened, like, since probably the war sort of thing. But Tim, what are some of the tools that you use to overcome these things?
Well, I think to Nathan's point, you know, with mental health, it is so important. And, I mean, you guys could speak to this. You guys work with me, so my mental health needs to be in order at all times. I find you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. For me, it's
you withdraw, Tim.
Yes. For me, the simple answer is reading. And a way I like to withdraw and to really just check in on myself is reading. And I will read practically anything I can get my hands on, because for me, it's a great escape from what's happening around me. And I can just dive into a book. It helps me sort out all of the mental, what I like to call the mental mumbo jumbo of the day. And reading at night especially helps me fall asleep in a much calmer state of being. So I do like reading, and I like to mix it up. I mean, right now I'm reading a book called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. I've read it several times because I like everything it's teaching me about discovering what my purpose is and how to stay grounded when things are uncertain. But I also like a book that a really good friend and colleague, Style Master Paz, over in the UK gave me. It's called You Are a Badass, which is all about getting rid of some of the, you know, the negative self-talk that you tend to have with yourself and just how to get rid of that and push it out of your mind. So I love reading.
I wish I loved reading. I like a talking book personally. But I read one line and then I just keep on reading the one line. I'm like Caroline from Finding Nemo. Hello.
But you actually have a beautiful collection of I want to say picture books, but that makes it sound quite juvenile. But you've got like lots of gorgeous books, Kevin.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
So I like reading.
I like lots of looking and lots of listening.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I read a lot. I read a lot because it calms me. And I read before I go to sleep every night. It's part of my wind down. But for me and my career in the salon and at Kevin Murphy, it's ironic that kind of the more you kind of progress, the less hair you do at different points. So doing hair is something that actually grounds me. And we're very lucky in Australia because I can actually go into the salon and I can get a doll head out, or I can do it at home and actually use some of the assets we're creating at KMTV, but literally just do hair. I mean, we were flying around the world and then we'd hop up on stage and come up with a hairdo and we'd think, oh, I want to be better planned than that. I do want to be better planned as an artist. Well, this is my time for doing that and to fill in the holes I have in my skill set, really. And that's, I'm going to take it as that.
I love that, Nathan. I think to your point, the most important thing is just find whatever outlet works for you, whatever outlet it is that helps you manage during this time. But I also think, you know, we can't forget to accept that emotions are completely normal. there's absolutely no benefit from trying to get rid of them or suppress them. I think it's far better to just make some space to actually feel the emotion. So if you're angry, be angry and then try to find a way to get around it. If you're sad and lonely, reach out to a friend. But the main point is feel the emotion. And I know it sounds really simple, but I've just found that the more you practice it, it really is simple and it becomes a part of your daily life.
Mm, for sure.
Okay, well, so thank you, Tim, and thank you, Nathan. That was really fantastic. So I think there were some really good points for our listeners here. I didn't want this episode to become too bleak, but we wanted to give our listeners some tools to adapt and change in the world at the moment. So for me, I think it's connecting is the key. And we always have to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off, but it's okay to reach out and get some support. You don't have to win every day. So some days you can be a slob. Yep. I think a lot of days you can be a slob. You could eat badly, wake up in the middle of the night, stay up, sleep all day. I think it's okay to do that, and you need to give yourself the room. Yeah. Do it. So
the rules don't apply. No, the rules don't apply right now, and it's great to do that.
Yeah, I think that also presently the world is paused and we have to slow down. So we've got to accept it, try and use this time to be retrospective to see where you want to go. So what do you want your life to be sort of when it's all over, and who do you want to be? So there's a very famous makeup artist called Katie Jane Hughes, and she does the opposite of being introspective and trying to sort out who she is. She's just fabulous. And she shows up on Instagram every day with a new hair, new face, a new look, and she looks absolutely amazing. So she also does really great tutorials. So she's a very inspiring person to look at. So she does a different hair and makeup look every day. So every day I look forward to seeing what Katie's looking like today, and she really pulls out the looks. And she's not a model turned makeup artist or anything like that. She's, you know, normal girl. So I think she started out at Saks Fifth Avenue in New York, and I believe originally she was from Texas. And I think that she went for the interview. I sound like I'm stalking her now. I don't know everything about her life. But she has a huge following. She's got around 500,000 on Instagram, and every day she puts on her best face. So she does her hair in 100 different styles, and every day she wears the best outfits. And I love seeing her. I love seeing her transformations every day. And she's really inspiring to look at. So that's just one way of looking at things. So if you didn't want to sort out who you are, maybe sort out who you want to be or what you want to be. And maybe you don't have to be who you are. You can be someone completely different. You can put on a mask every day. So it doesn't really matter. So you just got to find your own way to do it. But have a look at Katie Jane Hughes, because she is fun. She's good to look at.
Absolutely.
It's Katie Jane Hughes, all one word, all lowercase, and she's very inspiring. Just as another point of inspiration, I know I'm blogging on here a little bit, but Nathan and Tim, I just wanted to read you a final message of hope. Now, we've got a supplier in China, and they're one of our bioplastic suppliers, meaning that they make plastic from plants. And this letter is quite personal, and they sent me a letter, but it gave me a real sense of hope. So I'd like to read it out to you if you don't mind. It has a cute poem at the end, and I'm not really a cute poem sort of guy. This is not me talking. This is the man from China talking, and I hope I don't speak in a Chinese accent, but he's got lots of spelling mistakes in there, and it's really, really super cute. So it begins with, "How are you? When you see this email, I think you are working from home. I know you are very anxious about the current situation. We experienced a terrible time, so you can better understand your current status. During the past 2 months, we were fearful for our family, members of our team's safety, and also stewed about our orders, delivery, and economic downturn. We paid close attention to the COVID-19 cases every day with a hope to see the turning point. This is a feeling of unrest in the air. Until March 18, new domestic virus cases became zero in Hubei province. No more new confirmed cases, no more new suspected cases, and no more current suspected cases. We have all felt a bit better. Now in China, the situation of epidemic prevention and control is continuously improving. The trend of acceleration of restoration and normal production and life is being consolidated and expanded. And here's a little poem. So we are the waves of the same tree, leaves of the same tree, flowers of the same garden. We would like to share weal and woe with you. During this period, please take good care. We can continue the business soon. Don't be sad. You don't have to be perfect every day. Never lose hope. Never lose hope. Don't give up, smile often, and tomorrow is another day."
Yeah, that's great, Kevin. I mean, that just shows that, you know, and I know that we've said personally in conversations that you've been speaking to our suppliers in China and that things are greatly improving there.
Yeah, and they're sort of reaching out to us as well, because they've seen what's happening around the world, and they know that they're getting better. So they're giving us a sense of hope, because everybody wants to get back to work. And this company is an amazing company to work for. Like, the guy's like so personal. He sends me videos of his family. And so those touches didn't exist. Like, I wouldn't have ever known, you know, who would have got an email from him?
Anything. Yeah.
Gnarly face, but wouldn't have got a video of him using a brush that he's making on his son's hair and them joking around in the apartment. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all become quite personal.
I love that you shared that, Kevin, because it shows that as they have moved through it, we will continue to move through this and we will all get through this together. So it's very helpful. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, you're more grateful to anyone. Like, I had a package delivered today and I was grateful to the person that delivered the package, or someone that steps when you walk the dog and they go to the other side of the road. And so we might be, distant socially, but I think we're actually coming together.
Yep, yep. Right. Well, I just want to round it up a little bit here. So I want to say thank you for Nathan. Thank you for Tim for joining us today. And so thanks for listening to Conversations with Kevin. Next time we'll have Janine Simmons, our Colour Master from Asia Pacific, giving us some tips on maintaining team culture from a distance and helping you keep your team connected with Salon clients and with Salon culture while we're physically distant. So I'm Kevin Murphy, and this has been Conversations with Kevin.